You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome in to a Monday edition of the program from the Eakin Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you aboard on a warm, sunny Monday as March Madness is, I think, firmly taking hold, not only in Eastern Iowa, but in America. Scott Unash with you, joined by Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, coming up in a moment. Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass, surviving the weekend, but just barely. Lots to get to on a Monday edition of the show. We'll talk about the third straight Big Ten Women's Tournament Championship for the Iowa Hawkeyes, as they now await and see where they are going to go. As far as we know, the first two rounds are going to be in Iowa City. What is going to happen with the Hawkeye women after that? We will ponder that, get your thoughts about the win over Nebraska yesterday. Also, the Iowa State women in action right now, and we will update you on that coming up here in just a moment. The Iowa men, a loss that probably damaged their hopes for the NCAA tournament. Iowa State men with a loss over the weekend. The MVC, and then everything that went down in Greenville, South Carolina yesterday. And oh yeah, there's a little bit of NFL news today. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, that's 319-366-1600. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also 319-366-1600. Coming your way on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And, Mark, welcome in. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And yeah, so much has happened since we were last together. And thanks again for Spencer for sitting in with me a couple times last week. But I mean, we've had everything: national championships, state championships, tournament champions, disappointments, on and on and on. But I guess what happened up north takes precedent, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I would like to also thank Spencer for sitting in when I was in Des Moines, to Isaac as well, and to everybody that had a hand in it. The basketball season is now done in the state of Iowa, at least as far as the high schools are concerned. So we can ride right through March now and get us ready for the tournaments, both the men's and the women's tournaments. Before we get to, by the way, Isaac, hello, how are you?
I'm all right. Like I said, when you came in, a very busy weekend for in the sports world, especially here in Iowa.
Yeah, you had your thumb on the pulse of everything going on, right?
Yes, I tried to. I was in Cedar Rapids on Saturday for the women's wrestling nationals, and that was a pretty fun time.
Looked like they had a good crowd too.
Yeah, there was a good turnout. I know Spencer Lee was in attendance too, so it was fun to see him there. Good to see him there. And you also had the men's wrestling Big Tens going on at the same time. It was a lot of wrestling to follow on a Saturday and throughout the weekend.
That was the good news as far as wrestling. We will talk to Mark on Wednesday. I'm not promising that it's going to be a fun talk with Mark. Hawkeye men finishing fourth at College Park, Maryland. I don't know the last time Iowa finished fourth.
2018. It was also the last time they did not have a Big Ten champ, which was until
almost
this year.
Did not have a finalist for the first time since, what, the 60s? The late
60s? Yeah, I can't recall what it was, but something like that.
That's, hey, caramba. 319-366-1600. Mark, before we get to the Iowa women, though, let's update everybody on what is happening down in Kansas City. And right now, you can pretty much set this in stone. tomorrow night, 7:30, we will have the Big 12 Women's Championship game as Iowa State is going to take on either Texas or Kansas State, because right now Iowa State is absolutely shooting the lights out in Kansas City, Missouri. 79-51, Iowa State is taking down number one seeded Oklahoma and Jenny Baranchik at this time. Cyclones are playing as good as anybody in the country right now.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but they're playing awfully well. They're playing awfully well and just obliterating Oklahoma today. It's Audie Crooks inside, very effective, and she even hit a three. And Iowa State bombing from the outside, and Baranchik, the former Jenny Lillis, born in Cedar Rapids, by the way, and played at Iowa. She and her team have no answers for Bill Fennelly's crew.
When Iowa State starts cooking from the outside, and with Audie Crooks now on the interior, as you mentioned, it's going to be awful tough to knock off the Cyclones. And it's going to be a tall task, literally and figuratively, when they take on either Kansas State or Texas tomorrow night. But like I said, if Iowa State keeps shooting like they are right now, and they're in the tournament. There is no doubt Iowa State is in the tournament. Probably they will not host, certainly. In fact, we'll talk about their particular path here in just a little bit when we take a look at the bracketology with Charlie Cream yesterday, or today, I should say. He was on the television yesterday. We won't get to everything that happened in women's basketball outside of Minneapolis, where we will start, Mark, as you mentioned, up north, as the Iowa women come from behind. Nebraska played a very spirited game, played very well, as a matter of fact. But then, I don't know, all the planets aligned at the end. And, yes, Caitlin Clark certainly had her hand in it, but it was also Hannah Stolke on the interior. It was Kate Martin hitting a bunch of threes at the end. It was Gabby Marshall playing just stifling defense at the end of that game, and got it to overtime, and Iowa dominated the overtime, and the Hawkeyes win their third consecutive Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament Championship.
Well, it's quite remarkable. I mean, I think ESPN or someone had Iowa's chances of winning this game at less than 1% with about two and a half minutes to go. It certainly didn't look good. And I think Nebraska contributed to Iowa getting its overtime by taking one ill-advised three-pointer with about 20 seconds left on the shot clock that I recall anyway. But let's give credit to Iowa. It got it to overtime and got it done in overtime. And Clark had a terrific second half. But I know you and I talked beforehand. I don't think Stolke and Martin and Marshall got enough credit from the national broadcasters. And let's not forget Sydney Affolter, a member of the all-tournament team. She was terrific on the weekend. I hope she stays in the starting lineup, even if Molly Davis comes back. She was terrific. But Martin hitting those threes, Iowa wouldn't have won the game. Marshall with her defense, especially the block on the baseline, wouldn't have got it done. It was remarkable.
It was very remarkable. And yeah, Gabby Marshall, unless you have been a longtime basketball player, you don't know how tough that 3-point block was to time it like that. And Gabby Marshall, absolutely, just that was flawless. That was just absolutely flawless. And didn't hit shots late. She hit some shots early, certainly. I'm with you. I don't think Hannah Stolke got enough credit for what she did in the interior in that game. And Nebraska's got some studs inside. I mean, that's a good basketball team. And that's a basketball team that's going to be in the NCAA tournament. In fact, they're an 8 right now. And we'll get more on that coming up in just a little bit. But a third successive Big Ten Women's Championship. I think the crowd had a lot to do with it as well. They kind of, pushed Iowa to the brink and helped them out, certainly. And it was a loud crowd. It was probably, 85% to 90% behind the Hawkeyes. It became Carver North. Needed every one of those points to get it to overtime. And once they got into overtime, I think the world knew that Iowa was going to win that thing.
And consequently, a lot of that crowd is going to get a chance to see Caitlin Clark and this team twice more, presumably, in Carver Hawkeye Arena. I say presumably because that first round game usually is somewhat of a walkover. Never a guarantee, but probably two more times that this Iowa fandom gets to see this team in Carver Hawkeye Arena. And that's a nice reward. You mentioned Marshall's block of that three. That was only her second block all year. She's not very big. That was all timing.
Yeah.
But it couldn't have come in a better time.
No, it was perfect. Absolutely perfect timing. By the way, Iowa stayed up 19 with under 2 minutes to go. So they are going to go to the Big 12 championship game, which will be at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. We will have it for you at 7:30. We were originally scheduled to either have that or the two conference championship games from Westwood 1. But since the Iowa State women are going to be playing, that takes precedent, and we will have that women's championship game from Kansas City coming up tomorrow. That was unusual. They took a break in the middle of the tournament yesterday, Mark, between the quarterfinals and the semifinals. They took Sunday off, and I'm sure due to TV, they had afternoon games today for the semifinals just to get those on, in fact, on ESPN2 before everything else goes off tonight. So you do what you can to get your conference with eyeballs on it. And that's what the Big 12 did.
Well, it'd be good exposure for the Big 12 women's tournament. And back to Iowa, I think it has solidified a number one seed. That's, I think, fairly obvious right now. Maybe a number two seed. And stay away from those ruffians from South Carolina until the Final Four, possibly.
We will get to that coming up in a little while. 319-366-1600. Cajun Troy says Nebraska is a very good team. They can shoot the ball. Yes. Yes. And 86-99, we will. Yes, it was a great taste yesterday of what is coming up in the next few weeks. And we will talk about those Drake Bulldogs coming up in just a little bit. Iowa is a number one. Charlie Cream has Iowa as the number two overall seed right now behind South Carolina. The Gamecocks are number one in the Albany 1 region. There are the regions this year, just like last year, there are going to be two regions in each of the host cities. So it's going to be Albany, New York, and Portland, Oregon. Right now, Charlie Cream has Iowa as the number one seed in the Albany 2 region. The number two right now would be UCLA. Right now, Iowa State is a 9 in the Albany 1 in the Columbia subregion. And if that sticks, now, obviously, this was earlier on today before the Iowa State win. Might see the Cyclones move up to an 8. I guess that's good, but Mark, as you know, you get the 8-9 game to start with, and then the 8 is going to go up against somebody that's going to be really good. Oh, yeah, a top-seeded team. So take your pick of South Carolina, USC, Stanford, or Iowa.
8 or 9 really doesn't matter. It's a precarious spot. But if Iowa State plays as well as it did today, it's going to be a problem, at least in that first round game. Second round, I don't know so much.
That's going to be on the not on neutral side. It would be, let's just say, if they do end up playing the South Carolina Gamecocks, that would be on their home floor in Columbia, South Carolina. And you're right. Yeah, the 8-9 really doesn't matter a whole lot. Maybe you move up to a higher eight if you're Iowa State. Definitely if you knock off Kansas State or Texas, I think you're going to move up probably to a seven line. That gets you away from that number one. So I think that is incentive right there for Bill Fenley and the Cyclones. 319-366-1600. Leo in Iowa City says we got Nebraska's absolute best shot and overcame and won. That young Nebraska team may make a Final Four run eventually. It's very talented and a good test for the tournament. Very much so. Very much so. 1345, a Cyclone fan says they will take playing Iowa again. A chance to upset your rival and CC. Hey, you got nothing to lose, right, at this point?
You talking about Iowa State?
Yes, Iowa. If it indeed,
no, not at all.
If it is going to end up Iowa and Iowa State. Now, keep in mind, as we have mentioned many, many times, the NCAA, during basketball tournament time, has a sense of humor. And they love to put together those games with those backstories. Do not dismiss an Iowa-Iowa State rematch somewhere down the line here. Iowa State
is
there,
maybe a 25% chance?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that much. 15. I'm going to go with 15.
Okay.
I'm not putting the house up on this one. Okay. Iowa State has won. It's over 85-68 Cyclone women with the win over Oklahoma. So they topple the number one seed in the Big 12 women's tournament. Iowa State versus Texas or Kansas State. And that will be coming up tomorrow night in Kansas City. 319-366-1600 at 321. And let's see, what else do we have here on the text line? It is hockey season, by the way. It's always hockey season during the winter. Well, we might get to that coming up in a little while.
I hear nobody talking about hockey this weekend. I'm sorry.
You're right.
I just don't.
You're right. Hockey's going to take a backseat until the end of the March Madness. And I'm a hockey fan. And Cajun Troy points out Tennessee should have beaten South Carolina. Still confused about the Tennessee defense with 1.1 seconds remaining. Yeah, Cardozo hit a three, her only one of the season, as a matter of fact, in Tennessee dared her to do it, and she knocked it down, and they stayed undefeated. And if Tennessee wins that game, we don't have what happened yesterday in Greenville, South Carolina, which we will get to, promise you, coming up in just a little bit. Yes, the Iowa women are going to be a one. We know that. We are not sure exactly the destination, if it's going to be Albany or Portland. But this will be the first time the Hawkeyes will be a one with Caitlin Clark. And if you recall, they were a two last year in that one. 319-366-1600 as we come your way in a Monday edition of the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. Justin was watching hockey, he says. Well, I watched a little hockey too. Not very much, but I did get a snippet of hockey in over the weekend. And Isaac, you got to wake up, man. You're over there, you're yawning.
I'm sorry, it was a long weekend for me. I spent 13 hours in the Alliant Energy Powerhouse on Saturday. It was a long day for me, a long weekend for me. Lots to do. Lots to write about.
Hey, before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, go ahead, describe how that was. I know everyone, if you have not heard by now, the Iowa women won the national championship. And it's colleges, it's NAIA. Iowa's the only D1 down there. It does not make it any less of a national championship.
Still like international level wrestling as far as the other women they were competing against there.
So what was the atmosphere like downtown Cedar Rapids?
Yeah, it was really loud. I mean, obviously when Iowa won, there was a big roar, especially on the last one because it came down to the very last match there at 170 with Kylie Welker beating, I don't want to butcher her last name, but the North Central girl, Yelena. It came down to that one, and the winner of that one won the team title. And yeah, it was pretty loud. A lot of North Central fans made the trip over, and so that was good to see. It was great turnout. Some really entertaining wrestling. Took me a little bit to get used to all of the scoring differences there between freestyle and folk style, but it was a really fun time. And I was, you know, inaugural season there, really capped off a great season for the team. And it was kind of poetic that Kylie Welker was the one that clinched it for Iowa, because she was Iowa's first commit too. So it was all, it kind of came full circle there. It was a good time. And all those girls also qualify now for the Olympic trials, which is another part of a big reason why that's an important event for them.
It came down to the last bout of the entire tournament, winner take all. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You can't really ask much more, and it was two really high level wrestlers. I think those two had wrestled in different international competitions against each other, and you can't really ask for anything better. They started at 191 because I think the organizers saw how the tournament was going to go there, and they noticed that it was North Central girl and an Iowa girl, and at 170, so they wanted to finish it off with that. And it was a really fun time. Super energetic, long day, but really high level wrestling. It was entertaining.
Good. Hope we get it back again here in downtown Cedar Rapids. So, yeah, good to have that in the back yard right here. All right, we're going to get to the Iowa men coming up, the Iowa State men as well. Drake's big win. They're in the tournament. They cannot not be in the tournament. They qualified yesterday. We're going to do all that, but first, going to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update with Mark. It's brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Monday through Saturday, they are open at 4 o'clock. Check out their great menu, and it is available online at emilshideaway.com. And it's a busy day today, too, Mark.
It is indeed. Yankee fans on pins and needles today, as Garrett Cole, the reigning Cy Young Award winner, is undergoing an MRI for his right elbow. Any serious damage could really hamper the Yankees this upcoming season. Audie Crooks, the Iowa State women's basketball star, has signed an NIL deal with ClaimDoc, a Des Moines medical claims company. She also has a deal with U.S. Cellular. Brock Purdy may not have gotten a ring in the Super Bowl, but he got one Saturday. He married his longtime girlfriend, Jenna Brandt, Saturday in Des Moines. In the NFL, a flurry of activity today. We may get to more of this on the back end of the show, but the highlights today, running backs. Josh Jacobs going to the Green Bay Packers, who also released Aaron Jones. Saquon Barkley headed for the Eagles. Tony Pollard goes from Dallas to Tennessee. And DeAndre Swift leaving Tennessee to hook up with the Bears. Green Bay also released David Bakhtiari. Jacksonville signed wide receiver Gabe Davis. And maybe the headliner, Kirk Cousins, the Vikings quarterback, going to Atlanta.
Falcons are out of the quarterback derby this year, that's for sure. I'm not going to do that immediately after signing Kirk Cousins like that. Pollard, that was very interesting. Saquon going from the Giants to the Eagles. Enjoy your trip back to New York, Saquon. And now Eagles fans love Saquon Barkley. They have always loved Saquon Barkley. They'll be the first to tell you that they always loved Saquon Barkley. And Josh Jacobs, I think, going to be big for the Packers. I think that's a big one. He's a good running back. He's got some tread left on those tires. I'm glad he's out of the AFC West right now. 319-366-1600, and Russell Wilson going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mac Jones is going to go to Jacksonville. Chiefs did what they needed to do, had to do, and re-signed Chris Jones. Their defense is going to be back next year intact. That is terrific news if you're a Chiefs fan. 3:29, we're going to take a break. Come back. More basketball talk when we return here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have plenty of sunshine and plenty of wind around today. That'll send temperatures up to around 70 degrees this afternoon, but lead to an increased risk for fire danger, so be mindful of anything that can cause a spark. Tonight will be clear and breezy. Temperatures drop down into the mid-40s. Then tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds. Temperatures around 70 will be in the upper 60s on Wednesday as clouds build in ahead of our next chance for rain. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Scott Unash for your neighborhood quick star. And I spent the last 2 weeks traversing the state from the east to central, central to east, down Highway 30, down I-80, and the one constant was quick star. And no matter if you're here in the Cedar Rapids, Marion metro area, or out and about, they've got some of the best chicken around. Fried chicken and chicken tenders, which was my go-to on the last couple of weeks. Hand-breaded, 3 or 8 piece. They are perfect for a quick and easy lunch or dinner, and they are always fresh, made fresh daily throughout the day. And you got a chance to win chicken for life right now. 1 8-piece bone-in fried chicken per week for life. All you need to do is go to see the details at quickstar.com/friedchickenforlife. You must be 18 years or older, and you have a chance to win that delicious chicken from Quickstar for the rest of your life. Check it out.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is now live. The official sports book of ESPN features daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN shows and personalities like me. Bet on all your favorite sports with live in-game wagers, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download the ESPN Bet app to sign up today. I'll see you there. ESPN Bet. What a play.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids, Surgery Center Cedar Rapids, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
3:32, we are back with you on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Should let you know, coming up tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of the show, the voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Gary Dolphin, will join us as Iowa getting ready for Ohio State, a red-hot Ohio State team in the Big Ten basketball tournament in the second round. That'll be coming up later on this week. And we'll talk about the season. We'll talk about all things Hawkeyes with Gary coming up on Tuesday. Speaking of the Iowa Hawkeye men, Mark, they ran into a lot of orange and blue at Carver Hawkeye Arena, which we knew was going to be the case. And there were some faint I-L-L-I-N-I chants throughout the second half. Illinois went out, blitzed Iowa early. Hawks made a little bit of a comeback, but ran out of gas, and the Illini pulled away at the end to put a damaging blow on the Iowa NCAA tournament chances.
Perhaps Iowa's worst game of the year, and I didn't see it coming. You knew Illinois was very good, but when you get down 20 or more after 10 minutes and you get out-rebounded 50-33, Illinois just has too many weapons, too talented. You have to admire Iowa coming back and cutting it to, 4 or 6 points?
Yep.
There for a while, but then Illinois increased the lead and went on to a win. And Yes, it damages Iowa's NCAA tournament hopes. A couple games, I thought Iowa looked like an NCAA tournament team, but right now, well, it is a tournament team. I'm afraid it's going to be the NIT. Iowa's going to have to get to the championship game to be under consideration in this current format of the NCAA tournament. I don't think there's any two ways about it, and I don't know. It was an odd game. I mean, it was senior night, and the seniors combined for 9 points.
Yeah, Tony Perkins had a tough night last night. I guess a couple of bright spots for Iowa. Peyton Sanford did end up with 23. Josh Dix was also in double figures, but also Brock Harding. I thought that was one of Brock Harding's better games, and it seems like he's getting more and more confidence as he goes through his freshman season. Still has not shot the ball real well. Was 2 of 7. Did make his only 3-pointer in that game yesterday, but yeah, it was not a senior night to remember, certainly for Tony Perkins and for Patrick McCaffrey and Ben Cricky as well, who only ended up with 2 points, didn't get a lot of playing time in that game, to be honest with you, last night. And Illinois just clobbered Iowa on the boards, and that's a good Illinois team. That is a really good Illini team. And they got nothing and didn't need anything from Coleman Hawkins yesterday. Didn't play a whole lot. Gary A. was good. Terrence Shannon Jr., whatever you say about him playing or should not be playing, ended up with 25 points. And it's an Illinois team, I think, that can make a run in the tournament. Do you have more confidence in Purdue or Illinois at this time, Mark? Based on what Purdue has done over the years with Matt Painter, even with Zach Edey, who had his number retired, by the way, over the weekend by Purdue. I don't know. Do you trust Brad Underwood more, or do you trust Matt Painter more?
I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up to me. It's two different teams. I think Illinois more balanced offensively across the board, but anytime you have Zach Edey, and I think it's going to learn from last year's failure in the NCAA tournament. Maybe not. I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up for me. I mean, one last thing. You were there, Scott. Where was Brock Harding in the second half? It may not have made a hill of beans difference, but the way that guy played in the first half, he sparked that team. And he spent the whole second half almost on the bench.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know. Unless they're just giving Tony a chance to get things turned around. And once it didn't happen, yeah, I would not have been upset to see Brock Harding go in there and try to spark that team again. Andy on the text line said Harding was the best Hawkeye on the floor in the first half. And where was he in the second half? He's also asking the same question that you did, Mark, just moments ago. I don't have an answer for you. I think it was okay, Tony. Senior night, you got one last shot. And if you've been through in college or even in high school, a senior night, senior day, whatever the case may be, there are a lot of emotions there. More and more places, especially in high school, are doing senior nights earlier in the season because they don't want to have that pressure in that last game, especially if there is a lot on the line. You have a lot of emotions when your family is there and they are watching you for one final time on your home court. So, yeah, being loyal to the seniors, says 1900. 319-366-1600. 8582 says Purdue always messes it up. So go with the Illini to have more confidence going into the NCAA tournament. What does that do for Iowa? Well, according to Joe Lunardi, like you said, Mark, basically it's now Ohio State with more eyeballs on them. Interestingly enough, Ohio State fires, their coach, what, 3/4 of the way through the year? They have not lost since, with Diebler taking over. And now Ohio State, with 2 wins, according to Joe Lunardi, could get into the NCAA tournament. As you mentioned, Iowa is going to – they're just going to have to keep winning. I mean, the only shot, basically, that the Hawkeyes have now to get into the NCAA tournament. And that would start on Thursday night against Ohio State at 6:30. That's basically an elimination game. If Iowa is not eliminated already, they lose and they are out of the NCAA tournament. If Ohio State loses to Iowa, the Buckeyes are out as far as their consideration is concerned.
Yeah, and on the text line, 27-23, just curious, why is Michigan State in consideration over Iowa for the tournament? All you have to do is look at the net. Michigan State is 25, Iowa is 60, even though they tied in the conference standings, and even though Iowa beat Michigan State, it's the almighty net.
Like it or not, now Michigan State played, granted, a much tougher non-conference. They didn't win all those
games. That's the higher net.
Yeah, exactly. You can go about it two ways. You can play a murderous schedule and beat some of those teams, lose to some of those teams, or do what Iowa State did and just bring in everybody from 3:30 on up and just clobber them. That's the way you go about it, and you get a high net either way. I don't like the system. I wish they would go back to the former system, but that's the way it is.
Well, I don't even know so much about the net. It's the NCAA tournament. I'm just not – I like it, but I don't want to see Stetson with a net of 209 in the tournament. I don't want to see Longwood, which was 6-10 in the almighty Big South. You know, I love seeing those teams celebrate winning a conference tournament championship. Give me the 68 best teams in the country. Use the net. Use whatever formula you want. You won't have a debate about Indiana State, what have you. It just come to that for me. Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue. Big deal. But when you're leaving out some of the top 68 teams in the country, that's where I'm at right now, Scott. I don't know about you.
Well, I think it's better now that in Longwood, yeah, I get that. That's they finished fifth, I think, at the Big South, and they are in the tournament because they got hot on the right weekend and got some help. You're seeing now more of these conference tournaments, even the lower, I guess, for lack of a better term, the lower conferences give double buys to their champions so that they start in the semifinals so they don't have the opportunity to get upset. Now, it happened a couple times over the weekend, and a couple of the big-timers are out in some of these tournaments. That is going to be the debate of all time, and Indiana State should be in.
Well, you talk about compared to the college football playoffs, which is only going to be 12 teams next year. They're not going to let a conference which, you know, doesn't play anybody in at 9-3 because they won their conference in the championship game. They're going to get in what they believe is the 12 best teams, period. And you're not going to have a Longwood or a Stetson or what have you.
Or Samford tonight, but they're 28-5. They're a pretty good team. They'll have that. We'll have the Southern Conference Tournament Championship tonight at 6 o'clock. 319-366-1600. Does it have to be the conference championship game winners that make it, or does the conference set that up? Every conference now has, with the exception of the Ivy League, I believe the Ivy still does not have one. I'm not 100% sure on that. Isaac's going to check that out. Please check that out, Isaac. He's on it. Everyone has a conference tournament, and I don't know if it's the NCAA that comes up with the rule. Okay, your conference tournament champion will make it automatically. I think that is the case, or if everybody's in agreement with that. Is it right? I'm not 100% sure if it's right, because you play 4 months, and then you lose in one weekend, and you are out. Doesn't seem right, but hey, that's life. Sometimes it's not fair out there. Did you find it?
Yes, they do indeed. It, what did it say? March 15th to the 17th.
Okay.
And it's in New York City.
Awesome. Good for the Ivy
League. Called Ivy Madness.
Ivy Madness. Wow. Couldn't have come up.
Real creative.
Couldn't come up with something better than that, huh, Ivy League? They didn't used to have a tournament, so maybe they're with the times now, too. 319-366-1600 here on the Jim Class 6714, pointing out the Big Ten men's tournament champion has not made the second weekend of the NCAA tournament in the last 5 years. Too tired. Could have a case right there. Could have a case right there for that. Drake is in. We know that. Where will the Bulldogs fall as far as the bracket is concerned? And right now, Joe Lunardi does have Indiana State in, Mark, as one of the last four in. They are on the top of that list, which includes Almighty 18 and 15 St. John's. One of our listeners earlier on asked, how is Michigan State in? How is St. John's in? Well, St. John's is coached by Rick Pitino. That's not hurting anything right there. Michigan State, by who they play in the non-conference in their net, doesn't hurt that they have Michigan State on the top of their resume as well. There are several teams, like you said, even in the power conferences, that are going to be given big consideration for the tournament, even though they did not finish 500 in their conference. Oklahoma being one of them. Sooners finished 8-10 in the Big 12. Granted, the best conference in America this year. Does 8-10, does that qualify or should make you be looked at and considered to be in the NCAA tournament? I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, there shouldn't be a debate about Indiana State. I mean, Indiana State's net is 29. It won 28 games, as did Drake. On the season so far, and it played Michigan State, among others. They had a strong non-conference schedule. There shouldn't be a debate. They happened to get beat on one given day in the conference tournament. Therefore, you're telling me that what happened yesterday is more important than what happened all season long when you won the Valley. I mean, it didn't make sense.
I hope Indiana State makes it. I really, really do. I'm with you. No one, I believe, since they went to the beloved net system, who has been in the top 30, has not made the NCAA tournament. So Indiana State has that going for them. Drake right now is sitting at a 10 in the bracketology, and this makes perfect sense because they love putting mid-majors together to knock one of them out in the first round. Right now they have Drake meeting Gonzaga. A 10-7 matchup, that would be in Salt Lake City. The winner would get Arizona more than likely. So that's what Joe Lunardi has. And he does have Indiana State in there as one of the last four in. They would, as of the moment, be taking on Colorado in a play-in game. If they're in a playoff game, play-in game, that's fine. Just get Indiana State in there. Get them in there. Give them a chance. And see what they can do. Longwood is going to, I guarantee you, Mark, Longwood is 68 among the 68. And Joe Lunardi has them playing Merrimack right now in a first four game.
Oh, won't that be wonderful?
Yeah. Now, Greg and Epworth does say if you put the season champion in, you don't need to play the league tournaments. And even in the Southern Conference, even in the Big South, those conference tournaments bring in money, even though there are about 500 to 800 people in the stands watching those at the various venues. They do bring in money because they have a lot of sponsors, et cetera, et cetera. That's why they play the conference tournaments. That's why the college football will always have the conference championship games, no matter if they hurt your league or help your league, because you're not going to turn down that money in the end.
Well, that's spot on. That's the only reason there are tournaments, even though I'm going to watch all week long and everybody else will as well. They're fun. They're interesting. But you weigh a conference tournament championship. in certain cases, not all cases, certain cases, against the season long, you know, what you've done season long, you know, what if Purdue gets knocked out in the semifinals? I mean, is that going to tarnish what they've done all season long? I don't know.
I think it did last year a little bit. 319-366-1600. 3702 brings up a very good point talking about Drake. Drake should do everything possible to retain Darren DeVries, including offering him a contract extension and raise before the NCAA tournament. Remember when Drake didn't extend Keno Davis and he left for Providence. I think you are spot on, 3702. Drake needs to do everything they can to keep Darren DeVries there. Now, it's a different Drake basketball program from when Keno Davis was there. They just put a bunch of money into the Knapp Center to get that thing refurbished. They put a lot of money toward their men's basketball and women's basketball, practice facilities, et cetera, to help. I don't think Drake is going to allow that to happen again. Now, with that being said, Mark, somebody's going to come knocking on the door for Darren DeVries, if not this year, very, very soon. What's Drake going to do? They may not have enough resources to keep Darren DeVries there.
Well, DeVries is going to be a commodity. There's no question about it. What his aspirations are, I don't know. I do know that he won't be coaching his son anymore, which is, I'm sure, a big attraction for staying at Drake. Maybe he wants to be a lifer, Drake. I don't know. But he will have suitors. There's no doubt about it.
He will. He will have suitors. And I think he's going to be, I think he's going to have plenty of suitors coming down the line. And one of them, depending on what happens, may be very close, a little south of here. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a break at 3:51. We'll come back and have more for you here on the Gym Class as we make our way through a Wednesday edition of the program. Back with more after this.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Don't miss the chance to learn from the pros. Check out WagerWise on Wednesdays on KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Betfred Sportsbook.
At Lowe's, pros save big every day when you buy in bulk. Save 10% when you buy 230 or more select James Hardy fiber cement siding panels. And there's more. Save 10% when you buy 9 or more select premium foam flooring underlayment. Visit us in-store or online for low prices on the materials you need. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy you happiness. But money did help you buy an RV, which means an excuse from working Saturday with your insufferable coworker, Dave. So money is helping you listen to birds chirp instead of Dave chirping about how his toddler is fluent in 3 languages. And it's also why you'll be smelling pine trees in the air, not Dave's tuna melt reheating in a microwave. So save money by bundling your RV or boat insurance with home or auto from Progressive and buy more happiness or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
3:53, last 5 minutes or so of a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6, taking us up to basketball, the Southern Conference championship game, Samford and East Tennessee State. Yesterday, Mark, the ugliness as far as sports is concerned in Greenville, South Carolina, LSU and South Carolina Got to toward the end of that game, and it was marred by some shenanigans, certainly, to say the very least, at the end of the ball game. I think all of the Caitlin Clark record-breaking following, et cetera, all of the really good stories this year, I mean, did we lose them? I think women's college basketball lost a little bit of their innocence yesterday with that. I'm not going to call it a fight. It wasn't a fight, but it could have gotten really ugly. You had someone from the stands come out and get in there. It could have been really ugly. It could have been really ugly. I thought the SEC folks and the arena folks did a good job of getting in there quickly, but that was a tough scene to watch yesterday.
Well, believe me, I get the heat of the moment argument, and things happen in the heat of the moment. We've seen many players jaw at each other and maybe shove one another, but yesterday was just not a good look for women's basketball or sports. I'm not going to take this one incident and say, hey, this is women's basketball, because that's not accurate. I think the player, you know, there's going to be players that can't play in the first round of the NCAA tournament. We had a brother of one of the players arrested, for crying out loud, for being involved in the thing. You had, you know, a shell of a team for LSU, not a deep team anyway, finished the game. It was, and you can, many apologies have been issued today, not only by Staley and Mulkey, the two head coaches, but the players involved. This is not me. That's not, yeah, it is you. Yeah, it is you, because you did it. And you can say heat of the moment, whatever, but you don't push somebody, shove somebody, create a melee and say it's not you. Well, sorry.
It takes two to tango, and there was certainly enough blame to go around in that one. Elbows thrown by LSU, the shove by Cardozo of South Carolina. In fact, as Troy points out, she's the only one that is not going to play. I think the others that came off the bench are not going to be suspended for that one game. It's not going to matter. South Carolina is going to beat the number 16 like a drum in Columbia in the first round. It was just as several on the text line point out, these two teams do not like each other, period. And it does not give an excuse to do what they did yesterday, to have somebody's brother jump out onto the floor. He was stealth-like, but it was not a good look. It was just not a good look. Both coaches have apologized a couple times. Kim Mulkey did not do it right after the game, that's for sure, saying that Angel Reese, she should have shoved Angel Reese. Well, no, don't shove anyone right there.
Reese would have just pulled her hair.
Yeah, that wasn't a good look either. Kevin Lehman letting us know he had a bench emoting brawl at the Paradise Jam in 2022 with Virginia Commonwealth and the Georgia women. He's going to talk more about that coming up on Thursday, but it was crazy. It was crazy. 27-23, yes, we had a good show today. Thank you very much for that. We're going to have Spencer have a great show coming up next for you. He's going to be on from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Tell you what, say what you will about LSU and South Carolina. There were eyeballs on that thing yesterday, and that was no matter what Caitlin did, unfortunately, that shoving match was the top story yesterday as far as college hoops and women's college hoops in general is concerned. Good discussion, everyone. Like I mentioned, Spencer will be on next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock with more on the Iowa women. Iowa State women, a winner earlier on, will have their championship game tomorrow night at 7:30. More on Drake and et cetera down the line. Have a good night, Mark. I'll talk tomorrow.
I will. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Charles Barkley in a pickup game.
We'll take Barkley.
Ha! First pick. Sorry, kids.
Yep, even easier than